saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. I'd like to offer a biblical perspective on some of the current events that are happening. You turn on the news and you see headlines like this. Crowds clash with police after bishop allegedly stabbed during mass in Sydney. Riot police called in to disperse angry locals after 15-year-old arrested over suspected attack on Mar Mari Emmanuel at a Syrian church in Wakely. You go over to the next story and the headline is, Israeli War Cabinet meets to discuss response to Iranian attack. Netanyahu says Israel will make own decisions amid threat of fierce and painful response from Iran. And as if that wasn't enough, headlines like this are beginning to appear more frequently. Could there be a World War III? What Israel may do next after Iran attack? Experts have warned of a catastrophic conflict should violence escalate. Historians warn we are a few geopolitical inches from a third world war. Niall Ferguson said we are seeing the same patterns that led to the breakout of the Second World War. Now, before I continue, I'd like to read what Greg Laurie, the founding pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship, had to say on this matter. And I quote, "Was the attack of Iran on Israel Bible prophecy? I do believe the attack of Iran on Israel was a fulfillment of Bible prophecy, a sign of the end times. According to scripture, is the Jewish people will be regathered together in their homeland. That has happened. On May 14, 1948, Israel officially became a nation, and you might say the prophetic time clock began to tick. That was not just a sign. That was a super sign. But the Bible had more to say. Not only will the Jews be regathered together in their homeland, but they will be increasingly isolated. That's happening. The Bible also predicted the rise of anti-Semitism in the end times. That is happening. The Bible also predicts a large nation to the north of Israel, identified in Ezekiel as Magog, will attack her. That has not yet happened. Many scholars believe that Magog is a reference to modern-day Russia. I concur with that view. But no one can say with absolute certainty. But this we can say with certainty. One of the allies of Russia will be Persia. Persia was the name of Iran. They changed their name in 1935. Therefore, Persia, or Iran, attacking Israel, is predicted in the Bible. And guess what? That just happened. Now, am I suggesting that what just took place is going to lead to the scenario of Ezekiel 38? I don't think that's necessarily the case, but it certainly is a cause for us to sit up and pay attention. Jesus said, "So when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near." End quote. So as Christians, what are we to make of all this? Well, firstly, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Take note of two things here. The first is that fear, according to the Bible, fear is not just a feeling. Fear is not a mind state, but fear is a spirit. And the second point is that the Bible tells us that fear is not from God. So if fear is classed as a spirit that is not from God, then that means fear is an evil spirit. So when we see headlines that are potentially alarming, we need to remember firstly that God has not called us to fear. Secondly, we've been told what will happen in the Word of God. We've been told that before Christ comes, persecution will increase. There will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be earthquakes and pestilences. The Bible has laid this all out. So why should we be consumed by fear when we know how everything will play out according to end-time biblical prophecy?
Imagine this. You're a pastor, and you're invited to say a prayer at Congress. But you're given a few rules about the prayer you can say. you're told that you can't have a prayer more than 150 words. You're to avoid offending some people. So you can't use the word Father, and you can't use the word Jesus. And so, you carefully craft a prayer and send it in to have it approved before you read it at Congress. Now, on the day of the event, you show up, you have your prayer written down, and you're all set to go. But as the time approaches, you begin to be convicted by the Holy Spirit, and you realize, I can't pray that. I can't pray the way they want me to pray. So you rewrite the entire prayer quickly. And now the time comes. You're standing there, mic in front of you. Heads are bowed, and your opening line is, Almighty God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, together we come before you in humility as a people in need of your forgiveness, your mercy, your goodness. Now, what do you think the reaction to this would be? Well, let me tell you, because this actually happened with a pastor named Jack Hibbs, and the reaction he received was telling of the state of society in this day and age. So, after this pastor was convicted by the Holy Spirit, and in his prayer, he even said, I ask you today, Father, to bring us a great awakening of righteousness and confidence in you, who alone is mighty to save. Hear my cry in this hour of great need that we might be humbly blessed before you in the repentance of our national sins. You, Almighty God, are the source of all wisdom. Now, here's what just one media outlet, Fox News, reported. In a letter addressed to Speaker Johnson, 26 Democrats accused Hibbs afterward of being an ill-qualified hate preacher who was pushing a Christian nationalist agenda, according to a roll call account in mid-February. Now, what are we to make of this? Well, let me just read to you a few scriptures that will help us to be careful and discerning about the times we're living in. John 15, verse 18 to 19 says, If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 2 says, But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. Now, I really want to highlight this word, unholy. This means that as we edge closer and closer to the end of time, people will be more and more sinful and wicked against that which is holy and against that which is true and right. And so, for people who are living in the last days and wanting to be wise in these times, here is the message I have for you. Despite the many, many troubling signs you see on this earth, God is still in control. I heard a story of a young man who was learning to fly a single-engine airplane, and he had taken all of the instruction, and it was time now to land it. And the instructor said to him, Are you ready to go down? He said, Let's do it. So the plane began to descend toward the ground, and the instructor looked over at the young man, and he was so cool and calm. Not nervous, his palms not sweaty. He's not biting his lip. And the instructor thought, this boy will make a great pilot. He's not nervous at all. He seems to be cool as a cucumber. So the plane descended, and suddenly it hit the ground with a thud, bounced 50 feet in the air, hit, bounced again, finally came to a stop off the runway. The instructor said, "Son, I have been teaching flying for a long time. I believe that is the worst landing I've ever seen a student pilot do." He said, "Me? I thought you were landing the airplane." I think a lot of times we wonder, who is in control of this crazy world? Whoever it is, I know it's not the one that's sitting in the chair I occupied this morning. There is a God, and He is in control, no matter what you think. When we turn to the end of God's Word, the final verses of the final chapter of the final book in the Bible, we find something old, yet new. We find a concept present from the first pages of the Bible, yet this time with even greater significance. We find a promise and a warning, a promise of blessing or a curse, an invitation to life, yet a warning of death. In Revelation 22, verse 12, Jesus says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give everyone according to his work." Given that these words are nearly 2,000 years old, we may wonder about the Lord's promise of coming quickly. Of course, we must remember our reckoning of time is far different than the Lord's, as 2 Peter 3 verse 8 reminds us. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Not only that, but eternity does come quickly for all of us. Many have been caught by death unaware. The years race by for all of us. Even if the Lord delays His second coming, our appointment with eternity is not far away. There must be an urgency with which we listen to and obey the Lord. Jesus promises He is bringing His reward. This can be a great comfort or a great terror. The word reward can refer to a wage. For those who are faithful to Jesus, the reward will be blessing and life. Those who persist in rebellion will receive their wages of sin, eternal death. The inspired Apostle John helps us understand who will receive a blessing or curse. In Revelation 22, verses 14 and 15, he writes, "Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie." Everyone wants to be blessed. The closing verses of the Bible remind us of the path to blessing, which is faithfulness to Jesus. When the Lord returns, He will restore access to the tree of life, but only for those who followed Him. Those who persist in worldliness and sin will not be blessed, but will be left outside. For this group, there will be no access to the tree of life, no entrance into the heavenly city. Their fate is outside, forever separated from the goodness of God. Following this, Revelation 22 verse 17 contains one final and beautiful invitation. "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let him who hears say, Come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." No one makes it into a king's palace without an invitation. Thankfully, the King of Kings has issued an invitation open to everyone. Any who is willing to hear the Lord's invitation is welcome. Any who thirsts for righteousness can accept the invitation. Anyone who desires eternal life can have that desire fulfilled. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible tells us about the blessed hope. What is the blessed hope, you may ask? Well, in Titus 2, 13, the Bible says, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The blessed hope, for us as Christians, is the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Saints, let me tell you that we are on a collision course with destiny. There is coming a day when those who have been born again will be caught up in the air to meet Jesus. Personally, I look forward to the rapture. The Bible tells us that we will be given glorified bodies in heaven. We will be in the presence of God Almighty for all eternity. Now, salvation is a personal decision, meaning that it's your decision alone to accept Jesus Christ or reject Him. Just as you came into the world alone, and you will leave this world on your own, you will stand before Christ as an individual. There will be a day where you can't point to your mother or father. It won't matter what your last name is or who you're related to. The only things that will matter is, do you know Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Him as Lord and Savior in your life? That is all that will matter. Jesus said in Luke 17, verse 34 to 36, I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken, and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken, and the other left. What the Bible is doing here is that it's giving us an illustration of how the rapture will happen. You and I could never tell who will be caught up and raptured away, because it's only God who knows the state of the heart. But what will happen is that husband and wife will go to bed one night, and one will be taken, but the other will remain. Two friends will be walking and talking, and in the blink of an eye, one will be taken, and one will be left behind. In all of these occasions, it's only the person who is pure in heart that will be taken. It's the one who lives for Jesus and under the guidance and influence of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter if your wife prays or your husband is a big giver. When Jesus Christ returns, the only thing that matters is whether you have a relationship with Him. Not everybody is going up in the rapture. Unbelievers will be left behind. Some believers will have backslidden and will be left behind. Other believers will be left behind because they have secrets. Secrets that only they know and God sees. You cannot afford to be ignorant concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ. You should be looking forward to the second coming of Christ. You should be longing to be caught up in the air with the Son of God.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com apply.